I thank God he's been keeping us and blessing us, and tonight we won't be here long. We're having air conditioning problems. I meant to ask other service to look at the one in the back. I think they came in last week and they fixed it, but I think they got their lines crossed so that now when you go in the air, I went inside. I expected it to be cool, and actually the heat threw him up. So it's burning up in there, so there's no air in here, so it would have been cooler sooner. But I'm pretty sure that they got their lines crossed because I turned on last week. I said, maybe it was just me. You know, that's really what's happening. So those things happen sometimes. So we're going to go on God tonight, and the Lord will make a way. I was telling Ellen Smith, when I'm working outside in the heat and everything, it's not that I'm foolish enough not to know that I can't get a heat stroke or I don't have sense enough to, not to stay out there too long. But the truth of the matter is, when I was a young boy living down in North Carolina, we used to be out in the sun all day long and in the heat and everything else, and we learned to work in it and to deal with it so that it doesn't, I'm not foolish about it, but working in the heat is not new to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for the scripture tonight. I'm going to start in Romans, the first chapter tonight. And good to see so many people out tonight. In Romans, the first chapter, Romans, third chapter. Romans, third chapter. We read an hour. We were coming on tonight. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. And I read in the New King James Version. But now is the righteousness of God, as it says in this, apart from the law, revealed, being witnessed. I was looking tonight, as I was researching, I was looking at scriptures, and I was looking at the righteousness of God revealed. Other than the law, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified. I want to spend a moment on the word justified. And the word justified means to be made not guilty. There is a thing about God. There's something about God that's different than anything, than any other God or any other religion. No one is able to make you not be guilty but God. He makes us not guilty. And then that's a difficult thing for some people to really get, for us to really wrap our heads around, because I use the term that I use sometimes, it's probably anywhere, I say, he unsins you. It isn't that God just forgives you of your sins, but the Lord blots them out. He justifies you and makes you not be a sinner any longer. He takes them away. I can't overemphasize this to believers, because you need to know that when the Lord forgives you of your sins, he takes it out of existence. He blots it out. That's why you can't let the devil or you can't let the devil or you convince you to go back and do it again.
Right.
Oh, well, you already did it once. You may as well do it again. No, but I've been justified from that, and I've been cleansed from that. It's the same thing about the old life that we live in. You can't let the enemy. And tonight, just for a few minutes, I won't be long because it's 20 minutes till now. You cannot let the devil convince you once you've asked the Lord to save you. Number one, when you ask God to save you, making the assumption that you believe on Jesus Christ and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your mind is made up that Jesus is the Son of God and through Him we have salvation. You have to keep backing up and say, first of all, you got to believe that there is a God.
Yes.
That's the first thing you have to believe. And then believing that through Him we have salvation. And then the next thing that's so difficult to get believers, and church people don't believe in this, church people aren't sure about eternal life. People go to church for 50 years and they still aren't sure about eternal life. And they talk about heaven and, well, you know, I guess I'll go to heaven. And if you were sure about eternal life, you wouldn't put people in heaven who don't go there. When the reality of heaven comes to any one of us, and this is why John writes in 3 John, he says, when he talks about us, he says that when we see Jesus, we will be like Him, we'll be glorified like Him. And he says that everybody who really believes in eternal life, who believes that when you see Jesus, you're going to be changed from mortal to immortal and you're going to be like Him, he says, when you really start to believe in heaven and really believe in God, you start to purify yourself.
Yes.
And you start to search and you start to look at yourself and you stop playing games with it. And you get to the point where you really start to search yourself and allow the Spirit to, you ask the Spirit to come in and take a good look and a set of spiritual eyes. You ask Him to come in and look at your life and see if there's anything that's going to cause you to come short of the glory of God. You see, in Romans, the 3rd chapter, when Paul writes this, he makes this point. And when he says all of sin and come short of the glory of God, there was a reason why he said that. He said it because he was writing Romans to Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews had this thing about them where they'd come to a point where even when Jesus was walking, many of the Pharisees and Jews and the temple and all that, they didn't feel like they needed salvation because they were Abraham's sons. And they were born saved. And Jesus let them know that no one's born, everybody's born in sin. And that's the reason why he told them, for all of them, he says, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the devil likes to spin it. Oh, God, I hate the way the devil spins stuff. And he spins it through the pulpit. And I've seen people use this scripture when they go out and do things they have no business doing. They turn away. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. That means we were born in sin.
Yes.
And short of the glory of God.
Yes.
And Paul is saying this specifically at this time because he's letting the Jews know you were born in sin just like these Gentiles who were idolaters. You were self-righteous in what you were doing. They were unrighteous because they didn't know God. God doesn't like either one. One is just as sinful as the other. You can be the church center or you can be the Sammy's, just leave it alone, down, Sammy's social club center. It doesn't really matter one way or the other. Sin is sin in God. And then we get to the point where you say, well, then what's the difference? Is some sin worse than others? Of course some sins are worse than others. Murder is certainly worse than shoplifting. Of course some sins are worse than others. You know, even though you'll hear me say all the time, because it's true, you go to hell for sin, no matter what flavor it is. But are there some sins that are worse than others? Of course there are. So then what's the problem then if I go to hell for any of them? Because the point of it is, when you there's some sins that you do that you stand a better chance of coming to God at some point or another. You have to really, really be out there and really be carried away with sin to murder people.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta really have some serious demons riding with you to do some of the things that some people do. You're a long ways from God. You know, if you're just a little, you know, a handy liar, you know, just a little liar, a little this, a little that, or whatever, and do a few things or whatever, you can come and And if you will listen and allow the Word of God to speak to you, you can ask the Lord to save you, and we can get you delivered real quick. Mm-hmm. But my God, if you're one of the perverts that's out here that's into child pornography, and you're into all this and all that, and you got demons riding on your left and right, and you tried every drug there is, and you believe every lie there is, or you're the kind of person who's caught off in witchcraft and sorcery, and you'd rather hear the prognostications of Nostradamus than you would the Word of God. You got some work. And it takes some power to deliver you. You're in the gatherings. You're in the tombs, man. You got to have somebody who can come up and got to cast the devil out of you before we can even give you the Word of God.
That's right.
So when we say, you know, when it says all of sin and come short of the glory of God, then you need to know, yeah, we have. But some of us, what difference does it make? You're all on your way to hell. Now that point is
true. That's true, yes.
Because here you are, just a little petty thief that lie every now and then, but you're going to be right there with Hitler. You know, you're going to be right there with Jeffrey Dahmer, John Gacy. Just name them off. You know, you're going to be right there with Machiavelli, you know, but the list is long. You're going to be down there. You're going to be down there preaching with Jim Jones. Yes, you are. And all you did was just, you know, did a little shop that every now and then told a few lies on Facebook. And here you are on your way to hell. And the reason being is because you won't allow the cleaner to come in your life.
That's all right.
You won't let the one come in your life who cleanses you from all sin, who justifies and blots your sin out. And more than that, we're going to go to Ezekiel in a minute, and gives you a new heart and a fresh start. Gives you the ultimate makeover.
Yes.
One that is, some of us are like you're sitting in the Holy Ghost makeup chair and they say, well, we need to do something with your hair. No, don't touch the hair. Well, we need to do something with your eyebrows. Don't touch your eyebrows. So we need to do a little, you know, can you handle a little lip gloss? Oh, no, don't do that. Well, these earrings you're wearing, or whatever it's got on, we need to change this. No, don't change those either. Well, let me see if we can find you a new dress. Oh, no, I like this dress. In other words, you want a makeover, but you don't want anything to change.
Yeah.
You like the way you are already. You don't plan on letting anything go, anything be new. And God will only change what you will allow him to change.
Yes.
If God ever did a forced makeover, then then it's unfair that he'd force all of us.
Yes.
It's not if God ever made somebody be saved, then it's not fair to everybody else that he didn't make be saved.
Yes, that's right.
You know.
That's right.
He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we're saved because of what Christ has done. How Christ has come. That's the reason why when we get an opportunity for our light to shine, and when we get an opportunity to preach to people, we don't need to preach about people on earth. We need for them to know that Jesus Christ saved. Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. Matter of fact, he told the Jewish believers, if all of you feel like you're saved already, I didn't come to call you to repentance. I came to call the people who are in sin. I'm calling the people who know they're saved. If you're sitting up in here on TV or wherever you are and you're watching me and you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you're insisting that you're saved already, then there's nothing we can do for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you have to, the first step in repentance is to come to the point of confession of knowing that, hey, I am wrong with God. The very first thing you can, before you can repent, it has to occur to you that the Holy Spirit has to bring you to a point where you're willing to say, there's an ought between me and God.
Yes.
And since God, an ought, does everybody know what an ought is? That's an old word, isn't it? There's a conflict, better word, huh? Between me and God. There's a conflict between me and God. And since God is perfect and always right, then I must be the one who's wrong.
Right, yes, that's right.
And since God has salvation and I don't, maybe I need to go along with him. And since it's obvious to me, since I'm aging by the moment, that there's something about this body that's it's not turning around, and I must make a decision on something because I'm rushing towards judgment every day. And there are some things you, and then when we preach and teach the gospel to you, tonight, I had some scriptures tonight, and I'll tell you what they were in case I didn't get to them. 1 John 3 and 8, and I'll probably go there. You can turn there from here. 1 John 3 and 8. And hold your finger there. Let me finish Romans. Hold your finger there. Let me finish Romans. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption, the redeeming power of God. And redemption meaning that we are being brought back to God. We are being redeemed. We were lost. We were thrown away. And what was lost and thrown away about is our eternity.
Yes.
Five gabillionaires died in a sub trying to get down to the Titanic that sank 100 years ago. You have nothing better to do with your life than to go down and see a sunken ship. What an empty life you have.
Yes.
What an empty life you have.
Yes.
And you've got all this money, but you don't have you. But here I am. You know, I just barely have a pot and a window, and here you are, and I have all this joy, and you don't have it.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Amen. Yes.
And you should want something else. You're trying to find a thrill. I got a thrill for you. Let the Holy Ghost come through you. That's thrilling. That's thrilling. Allow the Lord to come in your life. That's thrilling. If you're sitting around the edge of the table and you're afraid to just dive in and eat of what God is giving, you need to dive in. You're wasting time. And your food is getting cold. You need to come on in.
Yeah,
and allow the Lord to really work or work in you and make up your mind and be faithful.
Yes, yes.
You know, be as faithful to God as you are to everything else you like. You know, and one thing about it, he says in this, through faith, through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, our redemption, our redeeming is of Jesus Christ. We need to say to people, you know, you need this gospel I got. Well, tell them what the gospel is. I'll tell you what the gospel is. Mm-hmm. You were born short of the glory of God. We all came up short. We were born in sin. We didn't measure up to what God created us to be. That's what it means to be born short of the glory of God. We weren't He created man to be in his image. That's what we've been studying on Tuesday night. So that he could crown us with glory and honor and set us over all the things that he has ever created. And the only being that would be above us would be him. And we don't measure up to that in our sinful state. And we were born in sin because long, long ago, about 7,500 years ago is when Adam was in the garden. When God recreated man, which he was going to place over everything, he created man without sin. And Adam fell. And because Adam fell, his DNA changed.
Yes.
And everybody since then has been born in sin. So if you ever wonder, you know, if white people, black people, brown people, purple people, green people, and every other people, if we all came from the same God, I can simplify that for you and say yes, because we all died.
Right, that's right.
It's that simple. If you're saying, well, I'm from Adam, and you people are not, then why are you dying then? If you're some, you know, we're all doing that. So then the redemption, when it talks about the redemption, God is not satisfied. He's not willing that any should perish. He didn't make hell for us. Hell was created some billions of years ago when the angels fell. We're not supposed to have mankind down there. But man fell with Satan. So you have men there. You have people there, men and women there. It wasn't created for us. It was created for the angels that fell. But you become a partaker of sin like them, so you go where they went. Or where they are. Being justified freely, which means that without money or without, it's not works. And I look at things that we do that are works, and we like to say, well, it's not because of your tithing and because of this and that and the other. It's not by your works in the point of view that you can come to God in any way and make him save you. You can't fool God. It is something, it's the grace of God that God gives, being justified freely. But that's why he says it's for everyone. The redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or the atonement for our sin, the ransom for sin, through faith in his blood. His blood is for the remission of sins. Every time we repent, it's because of his blood that we're able to do that. to declare his righteousness, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Because of his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, I like the way he says in the King James better. It's the remission of sins.
Yeah.
God, it's not just an issue of him passing over our sins. He, you know, that gives you the impression that he just kind of looks over them. No, God doesn't just look over them. He blots them out. He makes you able to live free from sin. He gives you the ability, really, to live holy. And that's why he says, that's why if God was not going to blot out my sins, and if God was not going to give me the Holy Spirit, which is stronger than I am, to help me live free from sin, he couldn't ask me to be holy.
Yes.
He could not expect me of my own mind to live holy. He couldn't expect me to in any way try to be faithful unto God in any way. If God did not do such a great work in setting me up so I could have success, God set me up for success in him. He will do that if you will allow him, and you determine how far with God you will go. It's like last week I was preaching about them in the boat when Peter steps out on the water. They were all in the boat, and they weren't sinners. They were all saved, but they were all in the boat. But Peter's the one who decided, I need to go further. I need to go closer. I need to come closer.
Yes.
And everybody has an opportunity to do that. And here's the point about being in God. And some people that we call casual Christians because their life in Christ is so loose. The closer you get to God, the easier it is to be holy. The stronger you get in God. You know, we read in Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means draw close, draw nigh. Get close to God. Get rid of the things that stand between you and God. If it's something, there's no common ground in God and the devil. Listen, we must come to that. There's nothing. God is absolutely good and Satan is absolutely evil. There's no in between. One's on one end and one's on the other. And they have no common ground. There's nothing that you do that Satan doesn't mind, that God doesn't mind. If it's all right in God, Satan doesn't like it. And if Satan doesn't have a problem with it, God doesn't like it.
Right.
Because the only way that Satan doesn't have a problem with it, with whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, is because he knows it's destroying you.
Right.
And he knows that although you might be saved, you might have the Holy Ghost. But he knows that if you don't allow the Lord, and when the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you time. And he says, now it is time for you to work on getting rid of this.
Yes.
Because it is a door that Satan still has a key to. Is something that he can open up at any time and still walk into your life with. It's something that it's a door that you know by now, because the Holy Ghost is like this. He takes his time. He walks us through. He doesn't expect everybody to be as perfect as God will make them be mature all at once. He takes his time and he goes from step to step to step to step. And he says, now you've been around long enough, this should change. Say, well, then why doesn't everybody grow to be spiritually mature? Because after a while, it gets to be a point where the Lord just says, well, this is as far as they can go. And I'm just going to work to keep them saved at all. Mm-hmm. And as long as they will do that, then, you know, we'll see how it works. But this is as far. But they'll, so well, I just live like that. Then you'll never be a light.
Yeah.
You'll never be a light. And more times than a few, with your sanctified self, you'll be a hindrance.
Yes.
And you'll absorb light instead of giving light. And when you should be teaching others, you're still sitting up being spoon-fed yourself. And you eat up front seats, and you eat up the pulpit area, and you love the high seats, and you love all the pomp and stuff, but you save no one. Matter of fact, when they see you, you drive people away from you. You're like the proverbial black hole. Instead of giving light, you suck light in. My Lord. And yet they sit up in churches. And so when you come in, for all people who come in church, only be around people who are light.
Yeah, yes.
Everybody who gets up and testifies for half an hour and it's all about them, they're not a light. I can tell you, when you get up and testify, tell me about your situation, and then get real quick to where, what God has done.
Yes.
And you don't have to go through the whole church of giving honor to Bishop so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so and First Lady so-and-so and giving on to my pastor and my First Lady and my, you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord and I'm saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And I'm not asking the devil. I'm not asking the Lord to rebuke the devil in you. I'm asking the Lord to rebuke the devil in me because you tore me out.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you because you are working on my reserve nerve. And I'm trying to hold on and trying to wait till you get to the point of what God has done. And you're putting me to sleep. You ever start watching something good on TV, but you're so sleepy you said just forget it, turn it off anyway. By the time you get to the end of your testimony, when you're doing all that, I've already turned you off. And you have diminished what God has done while you built yourself up and all the people you wanted to puff up and everybody you wanted to give honor to. When you finally get around to the look of the blessing, you make the blessing look small, even though if it came from God, it was great. Yes, you do. And instead of giving life, you know what you did?
What?
You just sucked the life out of it.
Not the whole service.
Kill the service.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But now the grace of God. You know, he says in this, the grace of God, which God freely gives through Christ Jesus, the redemption that we have, being justified freely by his grace, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. That means that I have to make up my mind. I want my sins forgiven, and I need to, and I want to have eternal life. This is why we're teaching on Tuesday night, Age of Ages. We have to encourage saints to want eternal life. Because, you know, you can play all the games you want to, but if you're enjoying sin and doing all these things down here, we tell you that all you're going to do when you get to heaven is you're just going to march down Hallelujah Boulevard and worship God during the course of the day, and then I don't know when you can go home, and then you get the next morning, and that's all you're going to do through all eternity. Who's going to, you know, like really, how exciting is that? So you all get together and you just pretend. I mean, so glad.
Yeah.
No, you need to know. When we get to heaven, God has a lot for us to do, and you're going to love every minute.
Amen.
I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of us.
Yes.
We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. You should be so excited about having eternal life. You should be so excited about going from planet to planet, preaching the gospel from, I didn't say city to city, I said planet to planet. When you should be excited about reigning and ruling with him and throughout God's creation and throughout his universe. You should have enough questions in your own mind about the universe just knowing about that should make you excited.
Yes, yes.
That you're going to live forever and death is not even in your vocabulary. You're not even worried about what is it like not to have an ache or a pain or to have anything hurting us mentally or otherwise. Aren't you tired of hurting?
Yes,
amen.
And you give all that up, you won't have that. You won't. And the opposite, you know, I have not seen ear, and I have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of people, unfortunately, just how bad hell is.
Yes, that's right. That's true.
You somehow think that, you know, you somehow think it can't be that bad. It can be that bad. It is that bad.
That's
the reason why people make statements like, I can tell you what, this is hell on earth. No, this is not hell. It's not even in the same arena. And I'm going to tell you one reason why. This is not hell. Because you can ask God to deliver you out of this.
Yes.
But when you get in the real hell, there is no deliverance for you. You can ask God to bring you out of what you're going through. You think you're going through hell right now? Ask God to bring you out. He's got the power. So how do you know he's got the power? If he had power enough to raise his son Jesus Christ from the dead and change him from home to home, listen, that's what power is. Power is not the United States and it's not Russia. Power belongs to God. It's the kind of power that it's miracle working power.
Yes.
I was reading in Luke, started to go there tonight, where it says when Jesus was there, the power of God was there to heal them all.
Oh, yes.
The power of God was there. When they would see the cloud and the Shekinah glory, which I'm praying for in this church, you better start coming to this church and you better be here because I'm telling you, I'm going to keep praying and fasting. When the glory comes in, you want to be here and see the cloud.
Yeah,
Yeah. You want to sense it in the greatest way. Yeah. Because God is going to move mine. And, yes, and when the Lord shows up, you can get what you want. Yeah. Oh, yes, God answers our prayers. And he hears us when we pray. But in the Shekinah glory, you really get whatever you want.
Yeah.
Elijah told Elisha, if you are here when God comes, when that cloud shows up, if you are here when God comes to take me up because that cloud is coming, he says, you ask for a double portion. He says, it's a hard thing. It's more than I can give. If you want to have twice as much power as I have, he says, but I know one thing. And you notice he wasn't jealous. Oh, no, Elijah, you can't have more power than me. You know what? Give me a break.
Yeah, that's right.
Elijah didn't worry about it. He says, you can have, he says, I don't have problems you having double power.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't, you know, I do 16 miracles and about made you do 32.
Yes.
Jesus told him. He says, you like these miracles I'm doing? He says, greater works than these that you're going to do. And I like the way he said it, and I like the way Dave said it. Dave said, greater works, what does that mean? That's because we're going to reign and rule with him. It's not just because we're going to preach to more people.
Yes.
It isn't just a matter of getting out because of the media and all that and speaking to more people or just praying more prayers. It's not. That's not the greater works. The greater works is what we do when we're in glory.
Amen. Yes.
That's the greater works. It's not just preaching to more people. Jesus' ministry was only 3 years long.
Yes.
So he knew they'd reach more people because they're going to be here longer and longer. He didn't just say you're going to do more works to do more preaching. He says you're going to do greater works than these miracles. You're going to do more than the miracles you see me doing because you're going to rule and reign with me throughout all eternity. It's going to be great.
Yes.
You're going to move in ways you've never seen. You're going to stop catching planes and be translated. When you need to go preach to somebody on wherever it is, Alpha Centauri, I don't know. You're not going to catch a plane there. You're just going to be translated. If they need you down in, you know, when you're going to preach to somebody in Sudan, you just get, you don't have to get all the passports and visas and things. If God needs you there, you just
go.
Translate that. Just be there. Yes. Praise the Lord.
And don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So they're in the middle of a war, not for me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. I'm coming down here to get it out of it. I'm coming down here to preach and say, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Repent.
Yes.
He says, in this whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. In other words, when I ask the Lord to forgive me, and this is something else you need to do. When you ask God to forgive, first you need to ask him to forgive you. You need to let the Holy Ghost come in and convict you.
Yes.
Say, well, how does he convict me? I'm not saved yet. He convicts you when you're a sinner.
Yes.
He convicted every one of us when we were sinners. That's why we asked God to save us. He started doing it a long time ago because he's the one. Don't you know that the faculty of the conscience, when it's working right, it tells you what is right and wrong in God. Not right and wrong with the Constitution, not what's right and wrong in the United States, not in the criminal statutes, not in those. It tells you what is right and wrong before God. And when you get a big enough demon and you get caught up in yourself enough, you stop letting the conscience do its job and you develop a different, your conscience becomes seared, becomes hard, so that it's not sensitive to things, so you keep on doing them. And everybody around you, even people, can say, I can't believe you did that. And then you justify it to them.
Yeah.
Let the Holy Ghost convict you.
Yeah.
Let him come on in. Don't you know that God is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and hides in the heavens? He's harmless. When God comes in to convict you, it's to help you and correct you and to bring you out. When he identifies what's wrong with you, it's because he's going to fix it, not because he's going to crush you. He's saying to you, why don't you let me help you out?
Yeah.
And you were saying, I'm all right, I'm good, no God, I'm good.
No,
but that's right now. That's in this hour. But he's looking way on down there, and he sees that if you don't get right now, you're like this. But if you wait till later, God is standing here, you're walking way off over here somewhere.
That's good teaching now.
And getting you back becomes a hard thing. And he says over and over and over again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let him wash you.
Yes.
So many scriptures come to mind. I was reading Ezekiel. He told them, he says, I'll wash you.
Yes.
He said, I'll sprinkle my water over you. And not only that, he says, on top of all that, he said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. Let God give you a new heart.
Yes.
Stop making, let him make you new. Let him come in. He will do this by the power of the Holy Ghost. Say, come in, Holy Ghost.
Come in,
do the work that you need to do. Come in.
Come in, Lord.
Tell God.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, I can't change by myself, but I recognize that change would be good.
Yes.
Lord, I can't change. You know what? I don't just need to stop doing things. I need to be transformed.
Yes.
I need to be, you know, I've been a caterpillar long enough. It is time for me to be a butterfly. I need you to come in.
Yes.
I need you to do what you do. And in that Latin word, metamorpho, which means a complete change. I need a complete change. I don't just need for you to put new clothes on me and just fix me up. I need you to change me. I need the very core of my being changed. I need what only the Holy Ghost can do. I need the power of God to come in. I need you to lift the demons off my mind. I'm not possessed. My head's not spinning around. I'm not spitting out pea soup. But I need you to come in.
Yes.
And lift the demons from my mind. Because I've tried, you know, I've felt for some time now by the urging of the Holy Ghost that I need to do this, I need to do this. And somehow, I just can't seem to bring myself around to it because it is tied to my affections and it's deep in my desires. And even though I feel like I keep talking myself into it being all right, even though you keep telling me that it's not. And somewhere along the line, it's going to be dangerous because some point in time, I'm going to have to make a choice between that and God. And I need you to strengthen me so that I choose God.
Yes.
That's what the Holy Ghost does.
Yes.
And without the power of the Holy Ghost, you'd never be strong enough to follow God. You wouldn't do it. Remember, we were born short.
Yes.
We don't have the glory that it takes that God had given us so that we would make that choice. We need help. So he told him, Ezekiel said, he says, when I come in, I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to quicken your spirit, bring your spirit to life. And I'm going to give you my spirit because you'll never be able to do this by yourself. Ask God right now. Lord, send your Holy Ghost.
Lord,
send your Holy Ghost. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Come in, come in, come in, come in. You need the Lord to come in, come in. Lord, I need you to come into my desires because I desire things that are not like you. And I need the Spirit of God to come in, not just the Word of God, so that when I read the Word of God, the Spirit quickens me and identifies me. I need to be able to see myself when I read the Word of God and not just see others. I need to be like the song that people used to sing, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother, not my father, it's me.
Yes.
Not Reverend so-and-so, it's not Bishop so-and-so, it's not my wife, it's not my children, it is me. Don't you get it yet? It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter how they come. They can be as wrong as 10 left shoes. And yet, if God's going to come down and fix anybody, I'm not sending him in to fix somebody else to bypass me. When you come to fix anybody, please drop in and fix me. Even me, Lord. If you fix me, you don't have to fix them. Just work it out. Just fix me. And I'll be all right. Stop blaming other people because you don't have peace.
Yes.
You can have peace in the middle of a storm.
Yes.
God will make it be all right. God will get in your mind, your affections, and the things that irk you and grate on and really frustrate you and really wear you out. God will make it so that they're nothing but a proverb and a byword. You look at them and say, that's just what they do. That's just what they do. And you're going about your business. You say, well, you know that's how she is. Well, you know that's how he is. And you'll say, Lord, I pray, Lord, I commit him unto you. I hope you do something with him. But it won't worry you. Don't you know when Jesus comes back, when that cloud appears, when his Shekinah glory appears in the sky, and God the Father is there with all the saints who have gone on before me, and when he gets ready to rapture me, don't you know that the world will be in the worst shape it has ever been in, and on its way going to be worse, and he's not going to change one thing on earth at that time. Matter of fact, he's not even going to touch it, he's not even going to set his foot on earth, but he's going to take me out of it. Don't you know in your life, God can take you out of situations and circumstances and people and things and never change them, and God can change you in the middle of it. The whole time Jesus was here, that was the thing they kept saying about him. When are you going to change our status? When are you going to get rid of the Romans? He said, I didn't come to do that.
Yeah.
When are you going to pull down all these wrong people sitting up in the Sanhedrin? When are you going to bring them down? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? He said, I didn't do that.
I didn't come to do that, yes.
So that's not what I came for.
Yes.
I came to save sinners.
Yes.
I am come. Because he says the first thing about this. Everybody in CPR knows this. The first thing you do in the CPR is you do whatever is necessary for life.
Yes.
The first thing you have to do is get the heart pumping. You do whatever is necessary for life.
Yes.
Then you can splint the wound. Then you can do all that. First, he says, I am come because, first of all, the main thing you need is not money. It's not this. You need life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am come that you might have life. When you have, when the Lord saved you, He saved you not because, oh, I need this worked out, I need that worked out, I need that to work out. The first thing that happens when the Lord saves you, He gives you life. The Holy Ghost comes and you get life. New life I give unto you. First thing people need God to do when they come in, save me. Save me. I was born a sinner. Save me. I do sinful things. Deliver me. Forgive me. Lord, bring me out. Break the yoke. Break the yoke so I don't keep doing this. Set me free from sin. That's the driver. That's what's causing me. Apply the blood to me so my sins are forgiven. Apply Christ's resurrection. Let me be new. Let me die with Him. Be buried with Him. Let me be resurrected with Him. I need to be new. I need life. The first thing He needs to give me is life.
Yes.
Then you can teach me on
yes.
how to come in and how to go out.
Yes.
Then you can tell me
yes.
you have life, but that's a killer.
Yes.
Then you can say to me, you have life, but that's a killer.
Yes.
Once I have life, then the Lord can say to me, now you have life, but that's poison.
Yes.
Now you have life, but they'll kill you.
Yes.
Now you have life, but that's a destroyer.
Yes.
And then you can make up your mind. He says, now you have life, but you need to leave that alone. Well, you know, it's not so bad. I've had it all my life. He says, yes. But when I look on down the road, and I can see way down there. Because the Holy Ghost can see way down there. He says, when I look on down the road, He says, at some point in time, this is going to come to a point of you choosing that or me. And if you don't grow with me, you're going to grow in that.
Yes.
And by the time it comes to be, He says, and the more you learn to like that, the less you're going to like me. And the more you believe that, the less you're going to believe me. And the more you go in that direction, the less interest you're going to have in this direction. Until you get to a point where you can't see me anymore. And you know what the Holy Ghost then does then? The Holy Ghost goes His way. He does like in Ezekiel. When you read that chapter in Ezekiel, I'm finishing. Go back and read Ezekiel about the 10th, 11th chapter when the Holy Ghost, when the glory of God left the temple. And in the 8th chapter, starting in the 8th chapter, God tells Israel, He tells them over and over and over again. He just reads out a litany of things that they have done. Ezekiel said, I came into the temple and the Lord said, dig a hole in the wall. And I crawled through the wall. He says, when I came in, He says, when I look through the wall, in other words, He was telling me, He says, you're on the outside of the temple, but look through the wall and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And God was showing him in a vision what they were doing inside the temple, even though He wasn't in there. He said, and the first people I came in contact with were the preachers and the priests. He says, and they were all bowing down to other gods, and they were afraid of doing all those things. He says, and then I looked over at the women, and the women were crying because they couldn't have somebody, Shamus or whatever his name was, somebody with God. He says, and I looked all around in the temple with all idols and pictures of things and all the things they shouldn't have. And you know, that's like how God looks at us when He looks in our mind and He sees all these things you got. Then He goes on and tells Ezekiel, he says, prophesy to him and tell him what's going on. And they won't even listen. They won't even look around. They won't turn around. Then in that chapter, He just called the preachers in. Bring all them in. Sits them down. But their love for other things other than God is so great. And finally, God takes His time leaving. The first thing that He does is He rises up from the temple. But He doesn't leave. He's giving them a chance to repent. Then He moves towards the east gate. But He doesn't leave. He's giving them a chance to repent. Finally, about chapter 10, He just takes on up and goes back up on Mount Sinai. And doesn't come back. Hasn't come back yet. Not like that. God will leave you. What little light you do have, you might have a flicker, but what you have to, let it grow into a flame. Keep coming to the house of God. Everybody standing. Keep praying. Those things that God would have you let go, let go. Don't, as it says in Ezekiel, don't contend with God. We are, you know what? We think we're different from the people in the Bible, but we're not. They would contend with God, and when God would tell them to leave something alone or leave somebody alone, they sit up and argue with God and explain to God how there was nothing wrong with it. they would try to explain to God, you don't tell God when God, God, you're not quite right about that. Then they got to the point after a while, in about the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, Israel was calling God unfair.
Yes, yes. Right.
Said, why are you treating us like this? And God is unfair. He said, aren't my ways equal and your ways not equal? Yeah. He says, why don't you choose life?
Yes.
Why will you die, O Israel? Yes. Why don't you choose life? Right. I say the same thing to everybody here and everybody else. Don't die. Why would you die?
Yes.
Choose life.
Choose life.
Father, yes. We come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, tonight as we come, Lord, we lift up our holy hands. Lord, we ask you to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody say, come in, Holy Ghost.
Come in, Holy Ghost.
In the name of Jesus. That's the Lord. The Lord washed me.
Lord, wash me.
Cleanse me tonight, Lord, in the precious blood of Jesus. Blot out my transgressions, Lord. Blot out my iniquities. Blot out my evil ways, Lord. Things about me that are not right, oh Lord. Come in, Holy Spirit. Come in. Strengthen me with might by your Spirit, oh God, so that I'll let things go. Lord, I pray, Lord, touch my affections and touch my desires tonight. Yes. Shed the love of God upon my heart. Lord, that I would love the things to be of God.
Yes.
Hate the things that are not of God. Ask the Lord. So, Lord, come in tonight. In the name of Jesus, strengthen me, oh God. Take away the things from me, Lord, that I'm not strong enough to give up, but I know they're wrong. Lord, take them, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that I might be holy and upright before thee, oh Lord. Lord, I desire to be holy. Full of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to touch the sick. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the manifestation of the glory of God tonight. Lord, for the manifestation of your word, oh God, in the Spirit. Lord, heal the sick tonight. Touch Sister Nancy tonight in our body, Lord. Elder Jenkins tonight, oh God. Touch Elder Benita Russell, oh Lord. All those that are sick in their body tonight. Lord, touch Elder Tiangela Rogers. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the manifestation of your Spirit tonight. Go out tonight and touch everyone, oh God. Confirm the word of God that was preached, Lord. Confirm me as your preacher, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch all those that are in here tonight. Touch every one of us, Lord. Move and open doors. Lord, open doors for Brother Demetrius right down here in Fort Walton Beach so he can be in church every day. That he needs to be in here. Lord, move for him, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, move for Sister Sturgis, O God. Lord, work things out. Lord, come in and work out the secret things. In the name of Jesus, move mightily by your power. Lord, we invite you in, oh God. The way of the Lord is right. Lord, we invite you into our lives. We invite you into our heart. We invite you into our emotions, our affections. Lord, come in, oh God. Straighten out things. Set them aright, oh Lord. Lord, the way of the Lord is right. Come in, oh God. Lord, work your will in us. Work your way in us, oh God. Come in. Come in. Lord, we surrender all unto you, Lord. We surrender. Tell us, I surrender, oh God. I surrender my mind. I surrender my emotions. Lord, I surrender my affections, oh God. Lord, I surrender my desires. Lord, I surrender my plans. Lord, I give all to thee. Lord, be it everything that concerns me, be it everything that I touch, be it my job, my life, my career, my marriage, my children, whatever it is, my church. Lord, be in it, be in it, be in it. Lord, be in it. Lord, come in, oh God. Be in it, oh Lord. Be in it, be in it. Lord, all things that concern me, be in it, oh God. Lord, there's nothing I want apart from you.
Come in.
Lord, make things right, oh God. Lord, I yield unto you, Lord. The way, your way is right. Lord, your way is right. Lord, in you is light and no darkness at all. Come in, oh God. Lord, work things out. Lord, heal the sick, Lord. Heal the broken heart. Lord, in every place, Lord, bless us. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. We'll be back Sunday morning. Our first education starts at 10 o'clock.